All right, if you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. As soon as I realized that this is how we would conduct our service tonight, this verse of Scripture came to my mind. Ephesians 1, verse 11. This verse came to my mind because the end of it says, "Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." As soon as I realized that this is how the Lord would have us to conduct worship tonight, that scripture came into my mind. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We are gathered together in this way tonight because this was the will of the Lord concerning us. That's why we're here like this. This was the will of the Lord concerning us. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Therefore, this was the will of the Lord concerning us. And in knowing that, we can be thankful for this. And I am. I honestly am. I'm thankful for this. Two Sunday nights ago, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, which says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, give thanks. He said, this is God's will for you. Give thanks for it. No matter what it is, if it's His will for us, we give thanks for it. We truly do give thanks for it because it is in Christ Jesus. That's what that verse said. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus. The will of God concerning His people is in Christ Jesus. That's wonderful to know. It's truly wonderful to know. If we are in His will, then it means we are in Christ Jesus. The will of the Father concerning us is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we can and we should give thanks for this moment together in this way. And we do. Now, for tonight's message, I want to, as briefly as I can, I honestly want to try to be brief. I know that it's extra difficult with everybody being at home, sitting on the couch together, especially if you have little ones. I know it's extra difficult to stay focused. So I'm going to try to be as brief as I can tonight. And I pray that this will be very simple to follow. That's my goal in this. My sincere desire is that this will be brief, clear, and easy to follow. For tonight's message, I want us to enter into Ephesians 1, verse 11. That's what we're going to do. Ephesians 1, verse 11. And I pray the Lord will make it a blessing to us and give us something to feed on. Let's read it together. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Verse 11 starts by saying, "In whom?" In whom? Whom is he speaking of? He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom? In Christ. We are in Christ. And we can't really enter into what all that means, but it's so. God said it's so, and it's so. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom? Our lives are in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope of eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. That's where it is. Our joy, our happiness is in Christ. Our peace and our security and our safety and our rest and our comfort, it's in Christ. All of it is in Christ. Our perfection, our goodness, our perfection is in Christ. Our all is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we are and have and do, it is all in Christ. If we live, we live in Christ. And if we die, we die in Christ. Isn't that comforting? I don't want to live through this life not being in Christ. And I sure don't want to leave this world and die not being in Christ. In whom? In whom? That's the message to God's people. That's the glory of the gospel. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 is all about, the whole chapter. Look with me at verse 1. I'm not going to turn to a bunch of places. We're going to stay pretty much right here, but we're going to read some verses right here and see if the Lord will let you focus on them and enter into them. Ephesians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We're going to see how often he mentions in Christ. Verse 2 says, Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Everything. We're going to see a little bit of what this means, to be in Christ and to have the blessing in Him. Verse 4 says, According as He hath chosen us in Christ, in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in Christ, in love. Love is of God, and all the love of God is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in Christ, the Beloved. Verse 7 says, In Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Christ, in Himself. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one, in Christ, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Christ. How often does He need to say this? Every verse. Look at verse 11. In Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13 says, In Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in Christ, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All of it is in Christ. Do we see that? All of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our text, verse 11, says, in whom also we. Who is he talking about right there? You know, I ask that question a lot, and we automatically answer in our hearts, who is he talking about? You know, the Lord has taught some who the we are, but a lot of people don't know that. And we need to ask that question every time we come to it. We need to know, is this word to me? The promises of the scripture are not to everybody, not to the whole world. And we need to know, are they to me? Who is he talking about? He's talking about every soul in Christ. Every soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sinful soul that the Father chose to save by placing them in Christ. Let me read a few more verses to you. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you, now this is who the we are. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the we that he's talking about in this text is all the sinful souls that God the Father did the work for of placing them in Christ, putting them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back at our text. Chapter 1, verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained. Thank God. What wonderful news that is. Have obtained, not will obtain, not might obtain, not I sure hope they obtain. In Christ we have obtained. What? What have we obtained? Verse 11 says, an inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. What is it? What is the inheritance? It's Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's everything that he is and everything that he has in God. Now, I'm going to repeat that just in case we didn't really get a hold of that. It's everything that Christ is. Let me backtrack. We have an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. And what is it? It's Christ, and it's everything that He is and everything that He has in God. That is just amazing to me. Think about this. In Him, we get to inherit the fullness of the Godhead with Him. Is that not amazing? That is amazing to me. In Him, we get to inherit the fullness of the Godhead. Our inheritance in Christ is being made to be a joint heir of the Father. What would the Father withhold from Christ His Son? What would God the Father not give to Christ His Son? In Him, we're made to be a joint heir with Him. He, the Father, who spared not His own Son for us to put away our sin. How shall He, the Father, not with Him, Christ, the one who the Father gave to us and for us, how shall He not with Him also freely, graciously, completely give us all things? All things. We have an inheritance. Isn't that wonderful news? Everything that Christ has in God, we have in God. In Him. In His body, in His blood, in His sacrifice, in His covenant. That is amazing. I'm envisioning your facial responses. Smiles on your faces. That makes me want to smile. As He is, so are we. That's just everything in Him. All of our inheritance is being perfectly preserved and reserved. It's being preserved and reserved in heaven for us. Chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Remember, wherefore remember, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. You who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Completely accepted into heaven itself with Him, because of Him. That's our inheritance. He is our inheritance, Christ Himself. All right, look back at chapter 1, verse 11, our text. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated." We are meeting this way tonight because we were predestinated to it. We believe on Christ tonight because we were predestinated to it. We were chosen to believe. We were pre-ordered, predetermined to believe. Everything about God's people was predetermined for them before the foundation of the world, for the purpose of bringing them to Christ. ultimately to conform them to the image of Christ. David said, "Lord, when I awake in glory, I'll have your likeness." John said, "When he appears and we see him as he is, we'll be just like him." And everything about our life on this earth is bringing us to that end. Everything is. The steps of God's people are ordered. This is all ordered. The circumstances of God's people, they're all ordered. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we can give thanks for every bit of it. Every step, every circumstance. They are all ordered by our God for our good. Verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose." It's all on purpose. This moment right now is on purpose. And Romans 8:28 says, "The purpose is good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose." Verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him." It's his purpose, not mine, not yours. His alone. Amen. To God be the glory. His alone. Verse 7 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things." He's the one who does all the work, and he works all things. Every single thing that happens is of him. It's his doing. Good things, bad things, happy things, sad things, all things are of him. They are all on purpose, according to his purpose. And everything that he does, every work that he performs, shall stand forever. Everything that he does, what God does is forever. The salvation that God accomplished for his people in the blood of Christ is forever. Forever. Our election in him is forever. Aren't you so glad? If God chose us, we're never going to be unchosen. God is never going to look at us and say, never mind. Our election is forever. Our salvation is forever. His blood is forever. Our inheritance is forever. Inheriting Christ and all things in him, with him, the fullness of the family of God is forever. It's forever. Verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Everything is according to the counsel of his own will. And in Isaiah 46, we just read it a minute ago for our scripture reading, he said, "All my counsel shall stand." Everything that's happening, he's doing it. He's doing it according to the counsel. That means according to the wisdom and the knowledge and the correct doing, the right doing of his own will. And all of his counsel shall stand. He's said, "I will do all my pleasure and all my counsel shall stand." It will. That's good news. That is good news. Our God, I'm going to leave you with this. Our God is sovereignly in control. God has put us in Christ, and that's where we're going to stay. All our hope is built on that. And everything concerning everyone in Christ or out of Christ, our God is sovereignly in control of it. He is sovereignly in control today and every day, now and forever. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's close our service by singing "Come Thou Fount," hymn number 17.